Dear Venerable Sisters and Brothers, Dhamma Friends, we are going to start today's Dhamma talk. May everyone settle and consent three times with Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasse. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasse. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasse. Yasmā ca ko bhikkhave viññānaṁ anattā tasmā viññānaṁ ābādāya saṁvattati nacca labbhati viññāne. Evaṁ me viññāniyaṁ viññānaṁ hotu evāna evaṁ me viññānaṁ mā aho sīti ti. Dear Dhamma friends, in this particular sutta known as this Anattalakkhana Sutta, now we have area. Yeah, the Buddha is dealing with the consciousness, and the Buddha says that as far as the consciousness is having no any self, having no any governance or governability, therefore it is always inflicting the particular person and will not get any chance as to my consciousness be like that. May my consciousness not be like that. So this is the statement appearing at the second part concerning the particularly on vijnana, and indicates something kind of a not positive, not productive kind of statement, oral statement regarding the vijnana. And recently, lucky enough, the Western and the Eastern people got together and started to see some functions of the mind and their consciousness. Of course, their topic was destructive emotions, and their West was under the impression all the emotions are destructive. But anyway, the leading person was His Holiness Dalai Lama. He came out with the idea that compassion also emotion, but it is not destructive. And something like loving kindness, more than the loving kindness of compassion, he asked the Western scientists to think that all the emotions are not bad. And in that argument or in this dialogue, there's a very nice outcomes as to the outlook towards the vijnana. Western mind can't interpret any kind of a healthy standard vijnana ever in the Western literature. Always they have taken vijnana as something inflicting, and therefore specifically whenever someone got mentally upset and when whatever the other factors available, hardly one can bring back the normal track. And even the person, the mentally upset, recognized according to Western psychology, he has been recovered. And what is the standard, ideal human consciousness, they can't define. And for the first time, His Holiness Dalai Lama gave that idea, do you have any kind of a definition for the healthy consciousness? They completely accepted and agreed, no definition. They have not even thought about. And they have done very nice experiments toward the neurological neuroscience, and see what will happen to the brain when the person is in meditation as a compassionate as a subject. When they're developing the karuna bhavana, what will be the mindset? And when they are developing loving kindness, what will be the mindset? what will be the mental state when someone is practicing insight meditation, when someone is practicing concentration meditation, when someone go to the state where completely peace and no objects available, and they found a very special kind of graphs and computer displays, and for the first time, it was a very amazing thing for the Western people to see, and they agreed, this is the first time in the Western world, a so-called healthy person check with the functional MRI scan, everyone they have so far tested were mentally upset. This is the only person who has done little meditation and put it there, their outcome, the graphs and all the things are completely unexpected. And then both the parties, West and the East, try to dialogue or discuss or come into the discussion as to what does it mean by healthy consciousness. And this statement Buddha says, Yasmachako bhikkave vijnanam anatta. As far as the monk, the consciousness is not under control, not governable. Therefore, it is inflicting suffering for the person who is having it. So, therefore, wherever the vijnana is in function, it is unknowingly or unknowingly, at the superficial level or under the carpet, always inflicting suffering. It's a very difficult for someone to accept as a total statement, because everyone consider vijnana as a very positive, constructive and friendly and healthy, supportive kind of a aspect in one's life. So the Buddha is greatly stating, as far as it is not governable, no one can get have a saying upon the vijnana, may my vijnana be like this, or may not my vijnana be like that. So no one can get interpret terms and condition upon vijnana. So therefore, no one is under one's own agenda. Everyone is trying to fulfill this agenda. Who is setting agenda? No one knows. And can we attribute the whole complaint to the vijnana, or what are the other factors help supporting this non-governable and inflicting nature? So when we are going to study it, we have to consult the vijnana itself to make this study. That is the ambiguity here. Vijnana is the very one we are making use to do these studies. So, in Sinhala, we call hora gamma in pena hanava, but I don't know how to put it in English, that you are consulting the same person to have a commission and undertake a probe to the mishap happens. So, how subtle the Buddha is presenting his thesis, in the sense using the vijnana in order to catch a thief, to get a thief. You know, how to call it? Set a thief to catch a thief. So this is how the vijnana has to be used. So we have to either consider it as a nonsense and mystic and throw away and try to go for sensuous pleasure and mind your own business that way. Or otherwise, you have to very serious to understand, will that vijnana will carry out the experimental instructions happily and obediently in order to disprove vijnana. So in that sense, one has to, I think, use total capacity of one's brain. Otherwise, we never use it. So when in vipassana, it's a kind of a door opening and window opening. It has so much of burst opening, eruptions and electric kind of thing. So during the time of the Buddha, luckily enough, many people came and questioned him, how can you undertake that kind of a task whereby through the vijnana, that vijnana has no governing power. Through the vijnana, that vijnana has no pith. Through the vijnana, that vijnana has no any kind of a, such a benevolent thing. Instead, it is ever intricate. So therefore, those who are open to the present day common news will not agree, will not disturb, will not argue that vijnana is creating so much of inflicting so much of suffering, that means the mentally upset people, because it is ever increasing. So therefore, whatever the medical science or any kind of any remedies, it is increasing. Even Sigmund Freud, he mentioned, even if someone is going to get free association and counseling, there is no natural death for this free association. It's lingering. The day the psycho mentally upset person keep on taking the treatments of free association or counseling till the day he became another counselor. That is the end of the cycle. It's a vicious cycle. It is going on. So is he fully recovered or not, never defined. So ultimately he will become another counselor and then he will consult other mentally upset people. This is what happened in the West and the East also. Exactly the same. So Buddha says, all worldings are deranged. So that is called Sabbe Bhutu Jana Ummataka. So it appear like kind of a wrong or the negative statement to the whole society at large. But that is not merely to disqualify or to give a negative feeling. Instead, Buddha says the prime task of the human being to understand this and then try to heal oneself, be concerned about one's own well-being to oneself. So therefore, take the vijnana as something which has no governability, and no, as far as it is no governable, it is inflicting suffering. So, to vijnana to perform, accepting this is a fact, the vijnana to perform that kind of thing, what are the other conducive factors or positive factors that vijnana is making the main advantage of? These are the materiality, feeling, perception and the volition. So, materiality, feeling, perception and volition are easily we can call as nama-rupa, that is consist of the materiality and mentality. So, vijnana is always working with nama-rupa in order to have this perpetuation, and they are working each other reciprocally, supporting each other. So, therefore, unless otherwise you have a fair understanding and direct touch with the materiality, with the feeling, with the perception and the volition, you can't prove the vijnana its own non-governability. That is why in the meditation we start with the body and feeling and other perception and volition, and slowly going into the vijnana. And in the literature it says, whenever the materiality calm down, or materiality be settled and gone into the unperceivable level, and then the feeling also in a strategic way, when you go to the no pain, no pleasure sphere, and you are disturbed by least, because you basically behave in the no pain, no pleasure situation, and the perception-wise, you are not in the normal perception where you are receiving and meddling with external objects or external stimuli, and you are not unconscious, you are not asleep, but you are not absorbed also in the jhanic experiences, and you develop kind of a consciousness that is not easy to categorize according to the normal day-to-day life, and then you have to take care about the volitional activities, the will, the motivation, and all the other mental preparations or mental fabrications, how much when the other three are not helpful for the vijnana to get the fertility or nutrients, how much the sankhara is going to give. And that is the part very deep down, you have to go there, what kind of a contribution, what kind of a mental preparation, what kind of a fabrication or making stories in our mind is habitually doing, that is in order to maintain the continuum of the vijnana. So therefore, as far as the manifestations are concerned, vijnana in a normal life manifest four ways from the Western point of view. Of course, they have observed the all Tipitaka and say the cognitive consciousness, that is basically vijnana is always make duality. And then discreetly understand this is it, this is not that. Or ego and non-ego. Black person, white. And that is somewhat related to the relativity. Vijnana is always try to cut the situation into two and then delimitate or separate them. That is called duality, and duality, and then other after make the duality, say this is the intrinsic feature of this, and this is the intrinsic feature of that, and that is how the vijnanis keep on functioning. So wherever you find duality or multiplicity, diversification, you have to understand vijnanis working. And there's whenever you see the unity, whenever you see the whole term, and there are also kind of vijnana is there, but that vijnana a normal non-meditate don't appreciate. They always think they don't feel safety. They won't feel secured whenever you see everything is equal, everything is in one, and one is everything. That kind of a wholesome idea, holistic idea, also kind of a function or manifestation of vijnana, but no one appreciated. It appear like very boring, it appear like very unsecure, it appear like the monotonous, and won't give recognition, won't give identity. Therefore, even though it is available, we are not using. So therefore, in the meditation, what we do is, we of course promote and get the vijnana coming to the full-fledged working by discrete understanding the in-breath versus out-breath. Beginning, the middle and the end of the in-breath, beginning, the middle and the end of the out-breath. So we bring the vijnana to full-fledged functioning. And see rising versus falling. We see left leg versus right leg, and going forward, coming backward, looking sideways, looking forward, stretching the arm, bending the arm. Everywhere you put vijnana's full-fledged in action, so you can see the little tiny differences between different modes, different postures, and different colors, shapes, everything. And that is the way we give a full chance for vijnana to work. And you keep on observing the same thing, you find something is happening. As far as you are changing the objects, the vijnana find it is very fresh, very novelty, and mind become very alert, keep on going. But get as much as possible natural characteristic, as much as possible shapes and manners, and then let the vijnana to be with one single object, and ultimately, if you are patient enough, you can go from this diversity, diversified idea to unity. But on the way, you develop certain amount of friction, certain amount of phobia, certain amount of losing the team. You lose motivation. Otherwise, if you are allowing vijnana to observe the same thing, it's a cognitive nature undergoing some kind of a changes. And that is a given fact. But how much you can continue undisturbed up to the holistic idea. So therefore, you have to understand the first function of the vijnana, or the manifestation of the vijnana is the cognition and separation from the others, rest. It is always have the relative idea. So in the normal, rational, conventional world, our whole language is based upon this relativity. It's related to this and that. But the person who brought up in this particular culture, in the background, he or she will take that my good and the bad, just and the unjust, and auspicious and unauspicious is universal. But that is not the case. It's changing from culture to culture. So therefore, when the people are traveling, they can understand that all the world, all the cultural groups and localities are not sharing the exactly the same correct and wrong, just and unjust. They are changing. So therefore, even though vijnana is going to get the security and identity, assuming that I am here, that is always relative to your locality, relative to your cultural background. But when it's open, that is no more valid beyond your cultural limits. So therefore, this is one function of the consciousness, that is cognition. And the second one is that it will appear like survival factors, they call. One thought moment to the other connection is happening through vijnana. The person who is at the age of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, he or she going backward regression, and that is all the thread is happening through vijnana. They really understand their bodily things are changing. They can understand even in the medical science, they say in every 7 years time, your whole materiality changes. And before you attending to age and after you attending to age, your sensations are changes. Your chemical body is completely changing. And the male to female changes are the difference. And when you are growing, learning, and these chemical changes, your perception also changes. That's why at the beginning you have a good feeling for the toys, playthings. But when you grow old, playthings are playthings, but you need real things, not the playthings now. Your perception is changing. And your fabrications and your mental preparations and your attitudes to things are ever changing. It is called the craftsmanship. You change everything, your efficiencies also. The sankhara also changing, but you never think mind is changing. You think that is the thread. That's I lived 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Are you the same person? Why not? My identity card number is the same. That is the way we claim it. But your facial expressions and the face change, never mind. The immigration and immigration department accept that, but your identity card is the same, the name is the same, and that is the way the vijnana take the thread. And along, not along the rupa, no, vedana, sanya, sankhara, but that is the fundamental thing. We take it as a vijnana. The other one is that the vijnana becoming a medium, even if you wish to refine your spiritual qualities, when you are not moral, not accept the precepts, and then if you go into the situation where you develop the moral shame and the fear and accept the morality and kind of thing, that you see that your mind is now different because you are immoral, now come to the morality. And when you are developing the access concentration, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and the non-materialistic kind of thing, so vijnana is catering for that. Vijnana is the one ultimately which is going to the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana. So it is like a substrata. So that is also one function within a life. Also, it works like a medium for you to hold precepts, hold first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, or precept holding the vipassana jhana, the insight knowledges, one, and ultimately going to the first Maggapala, second Maggapala, that is also, it is happening. And this is third function. And the fourth one they recognize is, that is, whenever vijnana is awake, vijnana is available, you are sentient, otherwise insane. You become unconscious. When you become unconscious, you are no more. You are in a situation, no more sentient. So this is anoitic, and sentience is also based on the vijnana. So these are the basic manifestation we have recognized. So it gives vijnana a very crucial, very primordial task in the life. So with that understanding of the four manifestations of the vijnana, the Buddha tried to explain how to use vijnana in order to get rid of this snare, get rid of this inflicting nature. To begin with, one can say in a very simple way, he says, Ditte ditta mattam bhavishyati, sute suta mattam bhavishyati, mute muta mattam bhavishyati, vinyate vinyata mattam bhavishyati. If you can restrain yourself by seeing, or in seeing, if you can just stop at seeing, no more proliferating, no more commentaries, no more thinking about the ditta dattabbanna manyati adittam manyati dattaram manyasi dattabbam dattabbanna manyati. So whenever you see something, if you're going to feel this thing would have been some deeper senses, so I would have gone further, and had I gone there, I would have seen much more. Like if you think in seeing, there are more things. That is the way you are going on proliferating, thinking, commentating, and kind of. Therefore, Buddha says, see, what you see is that. That's it. No more. Don't think like that. If it is so, you are letting the vijnana to carry out this cheating game. And adittanna manjati, don't think that you have not seen. You would have seen something unauspicious, and you may wish, had I not seen it nice? No. That you have seen is seen, therefore you must not camouflage, telling that you have not seen. And the Buddha says, dattara manyati, that may be a little difficult to explain, understand, there is no seer. Seeing is there is no seer, and that tabbanga manyati, there is nothing in this world worth looking. Everybody is appearing is that seer. But no one will take it like that. Therefore, whatever you see, you try to keep on thinking, interpreting, and fabricating mental preparation. So this is the simple idea. If you can stop seeing at seeing, and if you can, when you are listening, want to listen, if you can stop at listening, and what you feel to the body, the tongue, to the nose, and you can stop right just after the mutha. And whenever anything happen in your mind, thought happen, or any kind of that, stop at that level. And then Buddha is assuring that is the way you can take the vijnana under restraintment. And to give an example, when I am talking, this voice recorder is getting the sound waves. It stopped at that level. It do not understand when Dhammaji Mahamudra is giving Dhamma talk or any other person, whether it's a good thing or bad thing, it has no interpretation. When you get a camera shot, exactly like your eye, the camera, the anatomically exactly the same, but camera has no interpreting capacity. It has no feeling for that. And any other instrument, they are already enlightened. Simply. But we feel we are little more than machines because we are conscious. But Buddha says that very claim is inflicting. That is the inflicting thing. So I am telling you, you can be just like an instrument. Try to look at, right, whenever you see, try to stop at that level. And you have the capacity. That is either the gift the Buddha is presenting to the human nature, humanity, and you can stop at that level in listening, in smelling, tasting, touching, and in thinking. See, that is the case. If it is understood in the common sense, in meditation, you can apply in 1001 times. For example, when you are in sitting meditation, or we'll say in the walking meditation, well, if you wish to keep the track with the in-breath and out-breath, if you are too much enthusiastic, you may feel like sometimes, am I doing forced breathing or it is normal breathing? Because of the over-enthusiasm, due to your motivation, sometimes the forced breathing may happen. Or sometimes you may be doubting about that. So don't think about that. Don't dwell upon that. Let it be like that. If it is forced breathing, let it be like that. If it is a natural breathing, let it be like that. Continue again. Then no problem. Not necessary to have interviews. Not necessary to have any, entertain any doubts, because you know, you feel, you are conscious. I'm not sure whether it is a normal breathing or forced breathing. So stop at that level. And in the walking meditation, you don't know whether you are forcefully walking or slowing down consciously, or it is not happening, it is happening naturally. And there also, if you know it, your consciousness has picked the point, stop at that level. Don't dwell upon that. Don't go for fabrication. Don't go for mental preparation. And don't, in natural, normal English it says, don't worry. Main thing is not to worry. But we feel, no, it is my responsibility to worry. Worrying is my human rights. The commoner, they are always fighting for their rights. What they are fighting is, they think, I have my rights to worry. Who cares? As if telling that I have my rights to dream. Okay, dwell upon your dream, that's it. But the Buddha says, you have your rights, go beyond this doubting. Be aware, that is to say, stop. When there is something you have seen, that's it. Don't go for publication. Don't go for proliferating. And with that, this kind of thing happen, the mental proliferation or your unwanted interference and ultimately making stories become very, very crucial. That is why the papancha, the proliferation come into being. So therefore, to vijnana to continue, it is seeking the help of papancha and influx, the asava. Anusaya is the undermining tendencies, and unconscious or unwillful actions we are having. We are having sometimes some kind of a bodily action, verbal actions, and the mental activities not controlled by our will. We call habits. We call tendencies. So these are also necessary scaffoldings for the vijnana to continue. So when you are in the meditation, specifically once you gain certain amount of concentration and the mindfulness, you get a chance to look at them as specific scaffolding for the vijnana to take in, raise up and to thrive and to pervade, and you have to recognize each and everyone and remove in such a strategic way to weaken the vijnana, and ultimately when you go deeper and deeper, you will understand your egoistic idea, your conceit, your desire is tend to wean off, tend to dwindle off, and when it is happening, the very rational vijnana, or called supatitita vijnana, it feel cornered, it feel unsecure, it feel kind of fearful. So then you do not know, if you are not instructed, you assume as I feel uncomfortable, I feel it is boring, I feel it is cornered, I feel like it is unsecure. So these are the what we call vidassana upakkilesha or defilements. So definitely it must happen when you are progressing. Because you are cornering, you are weaning off the vijnana, the first thing it will shed off is the outermost coating that is called supatitita vijnana, that is highly dependent on the external stimuli and the senses, i.e. and the visual objects, hear and the sounds, nose and the smells, taste and the taste buds, body and the tactile sensation and thinking. So you can strategically you can remove them. That is what we call the conducive conditions for meditation. So when it is happening, invariably, the supatitita vijnana, the vijnana based upon this sensuous stimuli or objects, feel shivering, feel cornered, feel unsecure and boredom. And that is a good sign for the person, for a person who is well instructed. Otherwise, you will run away. You will find escapism to stop this process. And even if you are successful at that level, not to stop your practice and to continue with the confidence and the faith and the mindfulness and the concentration as much as possible, you have to understand the conventional concentration never strong enough to continue this one. So you must have what you call the momentary concentration. It's very dynamic. And it is, even it is subject to changes, it can thrive. So therefore, you are replacing Samatha Samadhi from Vipassana Samadhi. Or you are kind of replacing the conventional concentration by insight concentration through insight. And then you come to a situation, some feelings, some perceptions, and volitional activities like fabrication are going on. And when that is, when these are going on, you can either let it be carried away from the things, or be aware of the mechanism, how it happens, when and where it happens. If you are not taking delight of them, if you are not get happy with them, if you are not clinging them, they won't make any repercussion. They will just pass by. But our vijnana itself is titillating, promoting and prompting us to do something. And that itself, that very motivation also should not be pushed away. You just understand how the vijnana is doing. But still you are not claiming it as me, not claiming it as mine, not claiming it as myself. But you see how it happens. Whenever the mental image happens or any feeling based upon your own internal mental situation happens, or whenever the fabricating stories and mental preparation happens, if you are going to get rid of them, it's equally bad like clinging. Equally bad like taking delight of them. So what the kind of attitude you must have to entertain the middle part? Not to cling and not to wipe it off, and see the mechanism. And when you are seeing the mechanism, you are going still deep layers of the consciousness, and it is more tricky and more swift than this supatitita vijnana. Now this is vijnana is losing its grounds, and more down there only you will see these influxes and this the underlying tendencies, proclivities, and all the kind of thing. So when you go deep down, you may be in the deep concentration, you may be in the deep mindfulness, and there you can see it as a chitta niyama or universal law of the mind, how it is happening. So in order to get the complete the under the carpet view, you must be so equanimous, equipoised, and develop a suchness that unshaky mind. It's very difficult to put into words, and tathatha, and sometimes that may be the idea the Zen people are sharing as Taoism, letting the nature to run without your contribution in. And with that all understanding, with that summarizing all kind of thing, in the Madhupindika Sutta, the Buddha mentioned, Chakkuncha paticca rupecha uppajjati chakku vijnanam. Whenever the visual object impinge to your eye sensitivity, eye consciousness happens, or consciousness become a seeing consciousness. These are the basic intrinsic three aspects for seeing to take place. Chinna sangati paso, the contact happen, these three: external visual object, internal sensitivity of your eye, and the seeing consciousness. When these three happen, that is called three come together. As far as these three work together, seeing happens. Chinna sangati paso, asapachya vedana, and then you feel delightful or undelightful scenery. And untrained mind don't understand, no pain, no pleasure. They either put into the pleasurable or non-pleasurable. And the important thing one has to understand, only the pleasurable and unpleasurable go to the memory, never the no pain, no pleasure go to the memory. Our memory never store which is no pain, no pleasure. It is trivial for the mind. The memory entertain only the extremes. High pleasurable or highly pleasurable or highly unpleasurable, they take the superior form in our memory. But when this amplitude is reducing, the thin become dull. Thin become normal. So nothing to keep in the memory. You have no storage capacity for that. Your storage is filled, so that will be rejected. So when and where what you see is neutral, the mind won't decode them and record them. Only decoding and recording happen for the pain and pleasure. And chinna sangati paso pasapaccha vedana. Yang vedeti tang sanjanati. And if you feel that particular thing is specific, that is something extraordinary, then you put a label to cognize it in order to recognize later. If it is no pain, no pleasure, you are not worrying about labeling. You are not worrying because it is not necessary to keep in the memory and reuse it. So therefore, which is going to give the neutral feeling, won't cognize. Won't, because there is no necessity of recognition, it is common. It is natural. So any sanjanana or perception happen, when and where the impingement is extraordinary, either two double positive or double negative. When it is no in between negative and positive, they never sanjanati, that means they never make out. They never specifically understand it, and therefore all what you perceived not been perceived. All what you felt, you have the feeling, never been perceived, because you perceived only what you feel, enough to boost up your ego, enough to boost up your conceit, enough to have some desire. So these are the things sanjanana happen. Yang sanjaneti tanjanati tang vitakketi. And whatever you recognize worth putting a label, think it is worth recognizing and strike you, that is the what you keep on thinking. That is the one you keep on, it is called chewing the cud. What you eat in the daytime, cattle in the night time, it is regurgitating and chewing the cud. So chewing the cud happen only for what you feel important, what you feel interested. Maybe positive or negative, or I would say double positive or double negative. And such a thing, you take it on the moment or later, keep on with again and again, you apply the mind to that kind of thing. How can I make use that kind of a specific sceneries, listen, what you heard, what you felt, the smelt, tasted, bodily tactile sensation and thinking. So the filtering from sanjanana to vitakka, it is very natural. Your screening filter is which is desirable, which is boosting your the conceit, which is confirming your ego. So these three are taking the upper hands, tanna, mana, ditti, and the whatever it is tasty, spicy, you keep on thinking. Yang vitakketi tam papanchiti, and ultimately you will be taken for a ride and you keep on proliferating, and that is the papancha is called as mental proliferation. The proliferation happen after this series, and when and where the proliferation going on, yathato nidanam purisam papancha sanya sankha samudha charanti, he will be completely cut off from the direct touch of the eye sensitivity to the visual object. Instead now he will be completely entrapped in the mental proliferation. So he become unmindful to the object he is seeing, but he must be completely imbibed or engrossed and taken for a ride, and therefore no, he is completely vulnerable because he has lost the touch with the reality. But he is so amused, he has been taken away, ultimately he consider that amusement, that trip, and sometimes we can say that ecstasy is better than the direct touch. And that is how you deranged from the reality and ultimately keep on papancha sankha samudha charanti and atita anagata pachuppannesu chakku vinyesu rupesu, and he will be engrossed in visual world thinking about what he has seen past, he is going to see, and he never with the present touch of the visual object, and this proliferation happens. So we are to put the clutch, we are to put the brake. Now we are in a slip. Now it is going in a skid. Vehicle is skidding, and then how to stop? So the Buddha says it is too late. At that moment, very difficult for someone to put a brake. Even if you put a brake, the vehicle will be completely turned around. So that is the speed. We are whenever we are in the sensuous world without any restraintment regarding the physical, verbal and mental. And once you heard, this is the mechanism that is not your machine, that is the way universal the machine is working. And only thing is, first and foremost, you have to understand, it is no mystics. It is no second cursor, there is no omnipotent, omnipresent God. Your amusement, your taking delight, and clinging into that make you bewilderment, make you bewildered, and ultimately without knowing that you give the consent and you become motivated to go into your own dream world, your own fabrication, your own mental preparation, and you will be overwhelmed. The Buddha says that as the fig tree, when it is growing from the seed, it is natural stem going up, and once it is established, it produces suckers down, and they are coming from top to the bottom. Ultimately, they almost assimilate like the trunk and covered with. Ultimately, it come to a position where you can't see the trunk. It is being covered by all the suckers. But the suckers are coming from top to the down and appear like exactly like the stem. So ultimately, the stem disappears exactly the way you are cut off from the nature. You are in your dream world. So that is what the danger of the prapancha. But once you understand, that is the beauty of teaching of the Buddha. That is the point he Buddha put the finger. And he says, when and where, if you can see, or I would say mindful, now I am seeing. My eye is open and visual contact is face-to-face it, and consciousness is eye consciousness. Now I am seeing. At that time, if you can understand seeing, or it is in the Vipassana meditation, it says that when you are in the walking meditation, when you go to the end, when you are turning, you are very vulnerable for the sounds and the beautiful sceneries and all the kind of thing. So your normal mindfulness will be challenged and vulnerable. And there, if you happen to see a beautiful bird, and if you know by Nisarnavane, you are supposed to be walking in meditation, and your mindfulness must be at your tactile sensation of the body or the soul. But now, instead, you have been taken off to see something special. At that moment, you must apply the clutch. Must understand now your consciousness changed from the bodily tactile sense, bodily consciousness to the eye consciousness, and very difficult to note it at that time. And maybe a few cognitive series going, ultimately you will understand something wrong somewhere, and then you will see, now I am seeing. Even at that level, if you note it, seeing, or visual object by name, seeing, that you must understand how swiftly from the bodily tactile sensation to the eye sensitivity or eye consciousness this changes. When and where you change your channel from tactile sensation to the seeing, moment you go for seeing, you lose tactile sensation in bodily contact. Whenever if you wish to come back to the, again to the soul, touch of the ground, you have to lose the sight. That is the point you have to understand. Mind can do one thing at a time, and therefore, you can't have both. You can't eat the cake and have the cake. One thing. So therefore, you have to either let the mindfulness knows, now I am off the track, that means I am seeing. That's also kind of a understanding, kind of a healthy state. Or otherwise, if you have developed mindfulness up to the point, the moral shame and the moral shame, and mind will ashamed and come back to the tactile sensation, it is not a must. Just mere understanding the seeing. And instead of proliferating, and carried away by seeing and thinking that I am so lucky to see a rare kind of bird, so my more than meditation retreat, I see something good and I must take a photograph and my enlarge it and taken and show it to the other co-meditators, like you will be easily carried away by the kind of proliferation. Instead, if you can stop it, or instead not even stopping, understanding, the one simple technique is to note, seeing. And from there it may go to the hearing, or thinking. Whatever it may be, you are a little safer, because the mind understands it is something wrong, away from the main track. So when you come back, you are safe. So therefore the mindfulness has its manifestation as the safety. Whenever you are mindful, your safety is there. Otherwise, you are in dream. You are in a story. You are in a proliferation. You are in a fabrication. You are in a mental preparation. And these things are almost like a hallucination, almost like a dream. So, but you like your own dream than the reality. That is why the Buddha says, all are deranged. So that harmful thing, uncompassionate, incompassionate thing, and it is not ever giving the well-being of yourself. Because your main task in the meditation or vipassana is to see things as they are, the reality. But you instead of the reality, you would like your own proliferation. So therefore, kinna sangati passo, that means whenever the eye sensitivity, the visual object and the eye consciousness come, the contact happen. Never you can be mindful at the contact level. Only you can be mindful at the feeling level. Pasapaccaya vedana. In other words, you can see how the Buddha look at the object and come to know that I am seeing, and how you do exactly the same up to the contact. Pure, enlightened, unblemished, unturbulent flow. And from the contact, you go into either feeling or perception or volition. That is the point you defile it. That's the point you infuse your personal likings and dislikings, your personal ego and conceit. Accordingly, that very visual object, you will size it, you will label it, you will recognize it. It is like a perception, a feeling, or as a perception, or volitional, and then your feeling itself is colored by your desire and conceit and the egoistic idea. And when it is still perceived as something extraordinary, that is according to your value judgment, never think it is universal, and then you think it is worthwhile to recognize, so cognition is not enough, you label it and put all the permanent markings, and then keep on thinking, how can I see it again? How can I share with my other friends, those who are happy with this kind of thing? How can I get more information about the same? Like the mind is projecting further and further. All these things are happening habitually. So therefore, if at all you to be mindful, you can only be at feelings level. Up to the feelings level, cognitive series is pure. Up to that point, the flow is turbulent, without any turbulence, unturbulent, and that is happening to the stream of the law of the consciousness. So, contact onward, you have to understand where the channel is going. Seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, and all the kind of thing. And when and where you become sharp, you can understand how swiftly they are changing. So as a beginner, the Buddha says, don't go to the place like that. You come to a meditation hall, close your eyes, go for silence, and don't do any physical willful action, and let the involuntary breathing happen. Bring the attention as much as possible, and then cut off all the other thing that is to give conducive conditions. But when you are more dramatic, vulnerable, and with tasks in walking meditation, and there you can expand or diversify your mindfulness as to see how much you are in mental proliferation or fabrication, and without seeing, without experiencing, without falling into trap, without mistake, you will never learn. Never you will learn by only sitting meditation. You can develop the mindfulness at the concentration in the living situation, and you will be thanking for the people hammering behind your behind. But they are the people who only give you a little bit of diversification. Otherwise, you will be calm and quiet, serene in the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana. You go home, and where the hell you find this kind of atmosphere at home? So therefore, all the negative things you find for the developed mind, you know how to put it into the constructive way. So you will cut off your proliferation. It will cut off from your fabrication. It will cut off from your mental preparation because all of a sudden, bam. So they are, otherwise it would have been a very something to be complained and all the kind of thing. But you now make use in order to see otherwise what will happen. So therefore, when and we are, if you are going to see any kind of taking delight, any kind of clinging, any kind of grabbing it, that is the point you must be careful. That is the clutch and the brake you have to apply. So you see, whole day you will catch in one cognitive series that itself is a breakthrough. Don't think that from the morning to evening you can catch it and everyone. Only one point, for that only you have to be aware of it. You have to have the book knowledge. You have to have the theory knowledge. And you must have rationalized and you have deduced before. This is a worthwhile experimenting. Can I catch it as and when the body tactile sensitivity changing to the eye sensitivity or body tactile consciousness changing to the eye consciousness? When that happens, can I just see, stop the seeing at just mere seeing? Without keep on making stories. And when and where the hearing happen, you know it is now my consciousness is in the ear door, and there if you can stop it. And yet another way the Buddha is presenting, chakkumasa yata ando. That is to say, even you are an eyed person, even after looking, behave like a blind person. You are never making stories because you behave as if you are a blind. So that Buddha says that is a possibility. That is, there is a chance. There is a special link. And if you looking at, and after a while you come to know this object is going to make me delight and taken you for a ride. And even halfway through you can understand it. Still it is a progress because you are not completely lost. Halfway you come to know. That is how at the beginning you will be, you will come to know after long, long stories, long, long fantasizing, daydreaming. And then you come to know, ha, I am supposed to be in walking meditation. No, I am supposed to be in sitting meditation, but I am doing. And then you regret it. But you don't know this is the way even the Buddha catch the situation. Even any successful meditator, they catch the meditation, they understand, I am supposed to meditate, sit and meditate, be with the in-breath and out-breath. Now, I am in a daydream. I am fantasizing, at least at that level, not to worry, not to regret, not to undermine. That very discovery is the positivity. But uninstructed, or unradical, people always start worrying, whatever the type of meditation I am going to do, my mind is wandering. I am disturbed by sounds. I am disturbed by thoughts. And they keep on worrying. Ultimately, what they are fertilizing is the hindrance calls the doubt or remorse. But the Buddha says, it is not your mistake. This is the way the machine is built. So if you wish to understand the mechanism, the formula, the circuit, one day you have to understand you are off the track. Understanding very off the track is the first and foremost breakthrough. And if you are practicing again, the Buddha will assure you, next day you will understand the same, not much corrupted, just little bit before that kind of a corruption you will come to know. Yesterday you would have caught up at the 99 level. But today if you are practicing, you can catch just one point before 98, 97, 96. Like the corruption level will be slowly, slowly, slowly reduced. And you will, under the principle of nipping at the bud level, you come to the immediately after proliferating if you can catch it. Situation is under your control. If you are negligent, the mental proliferation will take you as a slave. You are under the grip of the mental proliferation. If you can see as soon as proliferation starts, and that is called diligence, the vigilance, the mindfulness, and then you can nip it at the bud. And that is nothing but the trial and error and repetitive application. So therefore the Buddha says, and whenever this taking delight, taking clinging happens, don't think that you can catch it at the early stage, right from the beginning. Never. Don't expect from the outside also. And give them enough chance. Because it has been conditioned, or it has been accustomed, and you have been in a rut, both unknown time, since unknown time. So it's not easy. So even if you know, and if you learn the art of catching it before becoming too strong, and that is called Yoniso Manasikara. Yoniso Manasikara is, don't let that negligence to take place so much. You try to diligent and try to catch it as early as possible. So therefore, don't expect that I must cut off at the right from the beginning. It never happens. But repetitive application, you understand little by little it is happening. And when it happens, if you are going to learn this art and let the habitual perpetuation to happen, proliferation happen, the story telling happened, fabrication happened, when and where possible you try to see where it is wrong, that's a discovery. So therefore the Buddha says that person who is so self-critical, person who is willing to do this kind of a task, is being really supported by the teaching of the Buddha. So the Buddha says, therefore, Tathagatappa veji, Tathagatappa bhikkave, arahan sammā sambuddho, desana dveme bhikkave tathagatassa sammā sambuddhasa desana pariyāyena bhavanti. Achyam achyato passata ayam padama dhamma desana achyam achyato dhissa tatta nibbindata nirajyata virajyata vimuchyata ayam dutiya dhamma desana. Therefore the Buddha says the Tathagata, the enlightened one and omniscient one, giving the dhamma talks in twofold. The first with the instruction is see the mistake as mistake. This is diagnostic. He says, I can't do it for you, that you let the same rut happen and just see the mistake. And the second thing is, after seeing the mistake as mistake, try to get rid of that, and because now it is under your control. That's exactly what the medical scientists are doing. When the epidemic happens, they patiently try to trace the causative primary agent, the germ. Bacteria, whatever it may be. Till you trace or isolate the pathogenic agent, only you can treat to the symptoms and keep the patient alleviated. But your basic medicine won't answer to the pathogenic agent. So they take it to the library, in the lab, and isolate the pathogenic agent. And once the patient become attacked, when the pathogenic agent come into power, a lot of other pathogens come and attack. Because his immunity is gone down, morale gone down, so anything can happen. Ultimately, symptoms may be due to multiple pathogens, but when you trace back, the first culprit, the original pathogen, is a completely different one. So the medical research institute must not get amused by the secondary pathogens. They must be tracing back so that they need patients with early symptoms. But patients with early symptoms never go to the hospital. They wait at home. So therefore medical research institute send the national level messages, these are the early symptoms, don't wait till the symptoms aggravate, please come to the hospital and report. That is for research purposes. And it is good for the patient also. So that is why Buddha says, oh, you are all with so much of multi-pathogens. To trace back this thing, catch it at the early levels. Go to the meditation center and meet Venerable Dhammajiva. I mean, what else we can do? Because I am the only person critical about you and blackguarding you and hitting you and all the kind of thing. Because you come with all the cock and bull stories. I don't listen. I am asking you to please come with me and go to the source. The moment you see, I catch the virulent, pathogenic source, original agent, your medicine is easily prescribable because the books are available. If that pathogen, this is the medicine. And then onward, nationally you can make a statement, we are under control. So during the, maybe before even the time of the Buddha, you'd have heard about the story. There was a very innocent, nice rabbit or hare sitting under a wood apple tree. And while in a deep sleep, ripened wood apple fallen into a palm leaf, making a big bang. All of a sudden, when the rabbit wake up, it found he has never heard such a thing. He was under the impression the sky is dropping, the sky is fallen. So he never look at it because it's so shivering, it start to run. And then the other small animals ask, what happened? He says, I have no time to look backward. Please run with me because sky is breaking. It is falling down. So all the other people believe in the rabbit start to run. They are running and ultimately little big animals, ultimately even with the elephants, all start running. And that is what we call the mass media. That is simply happening in the mass media. You don't know how a simple, tiny thing happened. Ultimately, it become all the wild beasts start to run. But the lion, everyone is running. Ultimately, it make a point to the lion. He asks, stop, will you? If any other animal asks, no one will stop because so much of fear. No chance. They have to escape. But when the lion comes, what is that? Then the elephant told that all the other big animals running, then I also start running. And then ask what is the next big animal. And then to the gone, ultimately the innocent rabbit came and asked, did you see it? Don't ask me, I can't look at even that side because he's so fearful. Ultimately rabbit, the lion threat him and took him to the place, and when you go there, what happened? Exactly this thing happens. So therefore, Buddha gave two examples when a situation happened, when a uncertainty, fearful and kind of shit happens. There are two kinds of observations, the dog type and the lion type. The dog type is, if you throw something to the dog, it chases behind the rock or wood and start eating and chewing and biting. But whenever if you throw something to the lion, it never look at what is fallen, it look at the source and jump and finish. So therefore Buddha says, yogis must have the lion approach. Don't worry about what is the symptoms and all the calamities and how. Of course it is something conventionally true. It is something to the rational mind. But you must see the cause, root cause, see things as they are. So therefore even the breath come and sometimes forced breathing or natural breathing, whatever may be, nothing to worry. Let it happen again and again. When it's happening, the breath come to its natural flow. It's nature. Just like the rabbit goes to the wood apple tree. And there you can see, and that kind of a going backward, even with the breath. Or thinking, or worries, or sounds, or pains, whatever it may be, when you are catching it, it is blown and it is big. That is how it is strong enough to break your attention from the primary object and pull it there. So therefore, whenever you go to the pain, whenever you go to the sound, whenever you go to the thoughts, they are already grown. They are already in the momentum. So nothing to worry. You must at least come to know, I am not in the primary object and go on to that particular thing and you mark it. See? Thinking or pain, whatever it may be. And if you are a person, for example, always irritated by the pains, you'll get 1001 chance when and where you go to the pain, from the primary of the pain, can you see the arising kind of pains, which has not been so hard. And next day you will see still arising the beginning of the pain. That is how the Yonso Manasikara is working. At the beginning you see the worst case, and if you are to see again and again, because you are a person always irritated with the pain, so pains are coming again and again. It is a good raw material for you. And if you go there, ultimately the day you see the beginning of the pain, you are mastering, now you know the beginning and the middle. And patient enough, if you are patient enough, that after passing the middle, it will again go into the another cessation, beginning, the middle and the end. When you see the ending part of the pain, you are hilarious. You are developing the confidence. You see the pain is coming and excruciating and tired, burning and all the kind of thing, but you little bit of patience will say it is ceases to exist. So this is the way you understand it. There, when and where the feeling come into being, after the contact of the feeling, even it is late or early, you must not let the mind to cling it to that or entertain it, that plunge into that. Instead, understand, you change the track. And if it is not so, it's a perception. And then after the perception, applying the mind again and again to it, and then mental proliferation, all are bound to come. But day by day, whenever you see, the moment you understand that very clinging, very taking delight and kind of thing, leading to so much of a rut, you will slowly, slowly take the situation under control. The moment you see, the breath is there, sounds are there, thoughts are there, pains are there, if you patiently, mindfully observing, at a time you can, if you wish, you can go to the pain and come back, or pain let it distract you and come back again to the primary object. All the combinations you can see, and that pain situation becomes slowly, slowly under control. And when you are developing that kind of a confidence, what we can put into simple English is, the mindfulness on the primary object without any distraction, and the mindfulness with the primary object with lot of distractions. Which mindfulness is proficient? Which mindfulness is strong? The mindfulness which needs with the distraction is much more stronger. It is which much diversified. So are we, or am I, welcoming that kind of mindfulness, or are asking always the comfort not to get distracted and be on the singly on the mindfulness on the primary object? This is how you develop the diversification. And each time you see thoughts are there, but if you are worrying, thought will come and distract you. But knowing thoughts are in the background, still if you are maintaining the track with the primary object, the Buddha says there won't be any latent tendency of desire. No chances for the latent tendencies of the desire to arise, because you can nip it at the bud level, because many options are there, but you adhere to the only the primary object, whether it is delightful or not, the gross or subtle, near or far, in or out, you keep it that. So therefore chances to develop even the latent tendencies of raganusaya, padiganusaya means the ill will as a latent tendency, Dithanusaya, you don't believe these kind of things have so much of power, because your mindfulness is very strong. So you won't give any the essence to the distraction. You give essence to your own distance. Therefore, no chance for the ditti, different viewpoints to happen. So to say, the distractions are very powerful. They are permanent. They are distracting. So therefore, if I am not going to take action, it will be more strong and kind of thing. You are not weakening your own mindfulness. So therefore, no chances for the ditti to arise. And vichikicca, the doubt, entertaining doubts, no chance. You are resolute. You know distractions are there, but as far as the primary object is there, as far as the mindfulness is there, as far as the continuity of the concentration is there, resolutely you adhere to that. You be with that. It is not a clinking. It is not already decided what contract. You keep on doing that. So therefore, no bewilderment, no hazy, which one to do, which one to do, which one to follow. You know primary object, mindfulness, concentration. So the doubts, entertaining of doubts, it's a very habitual thing, specifically for educated people. Be careful. And manasaya, the conceit, which one to go and kind of thing, no. You have already decided your primary object, your mindfulness, your concentration. So comparison is not there, what to do and where to go, kind of a, the comparison or upmanship, not there because already appointed, already assigned. As well as the bhavaraganusaya, the pervasion or pervading or spreading, nothing there. You may, you keep the track with what here and now. And therefore, not thinking about the yesterday, tomorrow, and how to give it to my dear and near ones, and how do I experience this in the next moment? Nothing. These all amount to be existence, pervasion, pervading. So you mind your own business in the present moment. So there won't be any chances for the bhavaragas or existing or spreading to the yesterday, tomorrow, other places and next moment and all the kind of thing. And seeing things as they are, what means no chances for the ignorance to come out as anusaya. And that is how, by simple task, of course it is not simple, but you have to strategically go into that, by single task, even you can tackle the undermining tendencies, proclivities, by not simply giving into this clinging, by not simply giving into this desire. So you keep the track with it, and ultimately Buddha says, if you have that kind of a clarity, you will never think about punishing another person. But you know how to keep the track in the proper way, how to keep the consciousness in the somewhat healthy way, how difficult. So they, when the non-meditators, so vulnerable for sensuous desire, ill will, sleepy and all the kind of, so they are committing mistakes is so natural. How can find, we can find, we can corner one to say this must be punished and I am the judge kind of thing. You know, it's a new creation of unwanted streams of volitions. So therefore, dandadana, you don't think about the danda means the punishment. Sattadana, attack with the stick or weapon or kind of thing. You see that what a wrong, misperception and wrong decision has to go for this kind of fighting each other. Fighting means decising other psychologies. You find difficult, you find it's a crime. And kala vigha vivada. Kala means the confrontation. Vigha means retaliating in the word to word. Vivada means debating. All these things are happening. You have not seen the thing, not seen the phenomena in its original form. You have been colored it. That is why you need this kind of judgments and kind of thing. Tuantuam pesi nan. Therefore, you will not the blackguard each other with the lowly languages. Tuan tuan means in Sinhala, to to. There is no fighting like that. Pesunyang, you will never carry tales about which is not happened and boosting up. And Musavada, you will not lead to any kind of lying and telling the untruth. And all the set of defilements starting from this small little thing, and therefore you will learn how to put the clutch and how to put the brake. And therefore each and every cognitive series is yet another chance for you to understand your proclivities, your habits, your personality traits, your likings and dislikings. And instead of looking at it If you are going to attribute to another person or another agent, so much so you are in the perpetuation of karmic forces and no way of opening. But that does not mean, as I mentioned earlier, you must be aware of each and every cognitive series in each and every time. It is impossible. You have to have a breakthrough. You have to have the full mindfulness of the concentration. Try to understand when and where seeing happens, when and where hearing happens, and that very understanding going to give so much of benefits. So ultimately, once you benefited, your deductive knowledge only will get justification, but not at that moment you are doing. At that moment you understand your mindfulness is secured, your connection with the primary object is secured, but you don't feel how much disadvantages you have done away with. So I have to repeat it again, your deductive knowledge with time will understand how much you save the troubles. So therefore, when the Buddha come out with that, that is the trick. The Buddha is using the vijnana, the consciousness, to set against itself. That vijnana is the witness, and it is making use of the mindfulness and the concentration as the two mental factors, and ultimately they keep on doing, ultimately, vijnana will be deprived, not only with the sensuous impingements, not only with your memory and fabrication and kind of thing, even the influxes and the undermining tendencies also slowly going off. And these undermining tendencies, usually you protect, you foster, you give the security, thinking they are helping you to give pleasure. Pleasure principle, but when you go deep down only, you will say, in guise of pleasure, or it's a perverted like pleasure, but ultimately it's an infliction. So that very seeing itself is enough, the Buddha says. If you see once, it will give so much of confidence, but the Buddha has mentioned can be tested, can be verified at a laboratory level, even at in one cognitive series. Then onwards, your own faith and your own momentum, your own confidence will develop. And that is the difference between in the samatha meditation, you abide, you absorb by that situation, but in the vipassana concentration, it is allowing, it is diversified, it is allowing the mind to go deep and deep into the phenomena and see, whenever you see things as they are, the manifestation of the mindfulness or the protection, you slowly start to feel. And that protection is not by physical departure from the relatives and kind of thing, or not from the departure of your obsessional kind of defilements. This is sometimes even up to this anusaya level or up to the of your undermining tendencies. So that is the point you see, the capacity of the human mind. Of course, it is once it is directed. So while we are fighting as a group in that sense, I hope to the talk also helpful you to encourage and apply again and again. May it be like that. And that is with that remark, I would like to stop the today's talk. Thank you very much for listening.